Hey everyone, what's going on? I'm Austin.
And I'm Craig.
And we are the Pillow Boys.
Welcome.
No, wait. Oh, damn it.
Pillow Boys. Are we sticking with the Pillow Boys? Okay.
Yeah, well, yeah. Craig's like, okay, fine, dude. The Pillow Boys.
But the Pillow Boys and Beer Boys are here for episode 24, long awaited, of Pillows and Beer Podcast. And I'm Craig Conover. Austin Kroll handles CA Conover on Instagram, Kroll the Warrior King. All of our businesses. We love you so much. And Austin, tell them where we've been.
Yeah. So welcome back. I know that we took a bit of a hiatus, and that's because we were both doing our thing. We were obviously in Chicago and Minnesota together, but then Craig went to New York. I did not. And then I went to Charlotte, and it's just been tough for us to connect.
And the Pillow and Beer Boys haven't really been speaking in like a week and a half. So I wonder if next week we do like our mediation on tape. But we decided that you guys shouldn't suffer for our high school squabbles, even though we put off recording with each other and we just said, fuck it, let's do this together.
That's right. That's right. I didn't even know that Craig was going to go down that route, but
why not? I mean, the whole reason this whole thing works is because we've been way more honest than we would ever dreamt of being.
I think that I can speak for both of us when I say that we really do enjoy doing this, and it's so much fun. And I think that something was missing for me last week, and that's the fact that I normally get to come on here and riff with Craig, and we talk about all the fun things and all the dumb things and all the whatever that we want to do, and to hang out with you guys. And that was missing last week. So we both were like, we got to do it. So we met up and we're in Craig's shop. We're in the middle of the floor here.
Christmas in July. The Christmas spirit is bringing Austin and I together. We both watched Hallmark last night without telling each other because we're still besties and you guys are our family. And look, we know a lot of people, but we don't have that many. I mean, we have a great inner circles, but we don't have that many friends. And we were definitely missing each other. We were missing sharing our lives with you guys. And like I said, I'm not sure how we're going to read you guys in one day, but I think next week will be fun to maybe do it kind of in a way. But
I think that's so funny that you said that you say, you know, Craig and I don't have that many, or Austin and I don't have that many friends. Yeah, when you say that, it makes me think that we definitely like to keep our circles small, right?
I don't think it's on purpose. Like, I'm just saying, like, I didn't have anyone to call really when we weren't talking. And then, it's just more like, it's annoying and it's stupid, but whatever, this shit happens. But yeah, so basically we came back from, we came back from Minnesota. I decided to go up to New York. Austin did not come. And then I guess we're so used to doing things together that.
I think that just threw us completely because when you came back, you came back a couple days later or whatnot, and shortly thereafter, I took off, went to Shep's Mountain House, literally for one day, and then to Charlotte to do a bunch of stuff, which I'm very excited about the future, the furniture shop, and this, that, and the other. So it's just like, and then the last thing that you want to do, and you can definitely kind of corroborate here, Craig, is that when you travel after a weekend away, the last thing you want to do is land and go and record. Right? Normally the serotonin levels are just completely depleted. So you're like, well, I'm not really feeling in like the most joyous mood to just come and laugh. And
well, I mean, also we didn't know what the hell we were going to do because we're even standing here. We still haven't really talked, but it's fine because we're like, look, we know everything. It would be a stupid thing to throw away this and our friendship's over, but you know, one day we'll talk, who knows when that's going to be. Cause I'm certainly not going to push it, but so Austin and I have been squabbling, but so you guys are actually hearing the first time we're talking. Austin got here a little bit earlier. And got to talk to our team, like the team really here at Sewing Down South. Don't you love the girls here and the guys? Like it
the
really
girls
is
are great. Yeah. I was like, well, wait, don't leave.
Yeah,
don't
I know. Leave, I kind of wanted to hang. Maybe we'll bring him on the podcast and just be like, what have you observed of us and the other cast members that you've seen come in the store?
Like they probably could write their own book, which
easily,
which we'll get to book writing here
easily,
in a bit.
Yeah. But yeah, so we've got a Christmas tree up. Austin and I are both huge Christmas fans. Oh, so the point of the story is this is the first time that Austin and I have spoken since Minnesota. So we just wanted you guys to be a part of it.
No. Yeah. Okay.
Other than us texting yesterday, yeah, being like, true. Which direction are we going to go in? Because that was, we were both texting through Jerry, who he'll be on later. And I'm kind of happy he's not in here right now because he'd be like, you idiots.
Yeah, you both are so stupid.
And that's what he continued to tell us. And we're like, fine, well, he's more stupid. Yeah. And
that's true.
And we'd both be like, I get it. I bet he's saying this now. I bet he's saying this. So, and I promise you, we will, once we work out our own shit, we'll figure out how to tell you guys. But hey, it would have been dumb to throw this away for. And it's obviously, too that's much never
fun.
Gonna happen.
It's, yeah. It's not going to happen. It's too much
but
fun.
Tell us about what you did in Charlotte. Give us a quick rundown of Linville with Shep and how Shep was. Because, you know, you're the broker between me and Shep. And then sometimes we go above your head with stuff, but usually it comes from you.
Yeah. Too funny. So Shep wanted to go to Linville this weekend. He had a couple friends, right? Does that make sense? A yeah. couple friends that were coming into town or coming to the house. And me, of course.
Yeah, the Mark and wheel. Sarah, great. Peter, yep. I don't Mark know if Sarah. I know his new girlfriend.
Peter and his new girlfriend, Allie. Yeah. And then me, the seventh wheel.
I figured you were taking all the pictures.
Which does not bother, no. I was not there for the rock slide.
Who was taking the pictures then?
I don't know.
Oh, I don't know. That's funny.
If it set up the camera, I don't know, but you know Shep, he'll walk up to anyone and be like,
yeah.
Sir, you know, even if they're like a wheelchair.
It's going to take 15
you know,
minutes.
Like, can
but
you
I
get up, it. Please, and take a picture for me? And you're like, Shep.
That's exactly what he sounds like.
I got there later in the day, and we played golf. And look, the whole seventh wheel thing does not bother me. It's actually great for me. I'm like, ha. I'm the smart one.
You I mean, that's what I was in Vermont.
I'm like, you all are idiots.
Yeah.
I am the smart one. So I played golf and we had a great night with dinner and we lit a fire and we had a blast and ate some Delta 8 and did this and that. And
great.
And then I woke up and went to Charlotte to see my folks and we had a nice dinner and just a low key. Well, no. When I walked in the front door, Craig, it was really cool because I was driving through the front of my neighborhood because my parents have sold their house now. And I'm like, I don't know how many times.
Sorry, we are filming in the front of my store right now. And
wow,
someone enjoys
wow
some substances and that
they
I'm,
like to be, what's the word? Like, you know, shocking. It's like they say the things to be shocking so that people on the street kind of look at them like,
yeah.
Okay.
Anyway,
man,
that
you?
Was a distraction. Okay. So yeah, I saw that you sold your house. I was a little sad about that.
Yes.
I was like, oh wait, that's where Austin and I almost killed someone.
I didn't. Sorry, my folks did not sell the house. Apparently, it came across that way when I made the video. I'm saying that they're putting the house on the market. So.
Oh yeah. Definitely yeah, appeared that you sold.
Yeah, house. Yeah. Because I did not post the second half of the video because it was odd to me. Yeah, so people like, you know, reached out. They're like, oh, like, you know, congratulations. Like, no, they haven't sold yet. So if you know somebody in the area, South Charlotte, PCC, if you know somebody, folks are selling. Beautiful home. I grew up there.
What about your beer? What did you do with the beer up there?
So I am moving manufacturers, and my manufacturer currently is in Greenville.
The people that make your beer.
Yes, the people that make my beer. And Catawba Brewing Company is in Charlotte. And they bought Palmetto, which is an historic brewery in Charleston. And so Palmetto has the facility.
What do you think that sold for? Here.
I bet that they sold for like 25 mil.
$25 million a brewery because you get all their beers and
maybe less.
How long have they been a company?
Since 93.
Okay, that's a long time.
Palmetto was the first craft brewery in the state.
Okay.
And
good for them.
They were doing things in like an old school manner, and then they decided to vamp it up, and they got cool young brewers and stuff that wanted to make cool beers that young kids drink and keeping up with the beer community. So they were bought, and they are great. So I had to go to Catawba to taste my beer with different levels of extract in it. Because when they made it the first time, Craig, I was like, I can't sell this beer. This is not my beer. And then they're like, okay, well, if we're doing it again, we're going to put different levels of extracts of grapefruit and passion fruit.
Why don't you just take the recipe that you've always used?
Of course. But I don't have – so they have that as the base of the beer, but the extract is kind of like up in the air and did not know which extract exactly to use. And they had some thoughts for me on how to – better it. And I said, great, let's try it. And so we had four samples, Craig, and it was 1, 2, 3, 4. Of course, it went least to most. And as we went up, it was like so bitter. I was like,
You picked two?
I can't even. So we picked one, and there was like a combination of, you know, one and
three. Oh, it's amazing. I'm pumped for you. And anyone just joining, if it sounds like we are in a public space, it's because we're in the front of my store.
That girl was really cute too.
I mean, we're people watching on King Street basically now, and people are banging on the window. They're waving, and everyone's getting in the Christmas spirit here, but that's kind of the background noise that you have. I'm pumped for Austin.
Everyone's getting in the Christmas
spirit. There's like, yeah, Christmas spirit's amazing. Can't imagine what the holidays is really going to be like here. It's awesome. I think you're in like, oh yeah, why don't you grab the under the tree candle? I'll tell everyone about New York. You should light that. So Austin's in about, what, 10 bars here? How many bars?
It's like, you know, 25 now.
25 bars, which means he has to up production.
More importantly, it's the hair's tier and stuff.
Yeah, so he's up in production. I decided to go to New York. I had a blast. I definitely went in hot. You know, I did what they wanted, for what people wanted me to do when I got to New York. But it was actually really fun. I think I was mad at Austin for not coming because I would have loved to share the city with him. New York's actually wide open right now. It was funny because I just randomly took a picture of my COVID card or my vaccination card before going to New York. And we did go to this bar and they were like, we need proof of vaccination. And I was like, that's really funny. I have that on my phone.
Really?
Yeah. I just laughed. But I was a little bummed with Austin for not coming, but only because you like sharing experiences with your best buds. So I went up to the city and I had a nice time. You know, I was the first time that I've really been back and missed it, and actually considered getting like a month long place there. I haven't told Austin that because we haven't talked, but I found a fully furnished place in Nolita for like a month. And I was like, man, I really want to do this. Cause we found fire. So I had a lot of fun. Obviously you guys can guesstimate why I was up there. You already probably know, but for multiple reasons. And then I got to watch the Italy game, the Euro Cup game up there, which I wanted Austin up there for. Also,
I wanted to be there so bad.
And
for
I was
that.
Like, you idiot. But also we just get mad at each other for any of our decisions that we make that aren't how we would do things. Cause we both think we know what's best for each other.
Well said.
And now I am back from New York for a little while in town. And Charleston's been rainy the last few days, which has been weird. But like you said, we're in the store. Everything's going well. Austin's furniture shopping. And that's kind of an update on us. And I promise you, once we actually talk, we will read you. I don't know. We'll do like a couples therapy on here. I watched a lot of Entourage in New York, which was amazing.
It's the best show ever.
And I was really loving the city. You could get whatever you wanted, like
it's just
brought
wide open.
Right to you. And like where I was,
and they wanted us to come up there to do interviews for Winter House. And I was like, yes, finally, y'all are flying us up there to New York. And then neither of us could do it. I couldn't go.
And we both,
it seems like you couldn't either because you got a lot of things going here at the store. And I had to have that meeting at Catawba. And it was literally that same day. I was like, it's a random Tuesday. Are you saying that I can't come up? So I'm very excited to hit New York here soon and see
we'll
friends.
Make up for it. But we're going to take a quick break for a word from our sponsors. We love to death. And I think Austin's going to do a little bit of interviewing of me when we get right back. So from Pillars and Beer, Austin and Craig will be right back.
So I think that everyone knows that I enjoy a nice glass of wine, especially like right now while I'm recording this podcast with Craig, who disagrees with every single thing that comes out of my mouth. Now, I'm no expert. I like what I like, but I also love trying new varieties. Wines my local stores just don't carry. That's why I use Vivino.
I don't agree with a single thing that Austin does in his life. Except for Vivino. It's really put a challenge in our life now because now we have something in common. We don't know how to handle that. But listen, this thing that's brought me and Austin together is the world's biggest online wine marketplace. Vivino is also the largest online wine community with 50 million users who have rated and reviewed just about every wine they have. Vivino carries all my favorites.
I'm a huge red drinker plus Savvy B. Austin knows that. And some rosé. I love me some rosé. Love me some Savvy B. And love me some Cab and some Pinot.
You love everything.
I do. I just love wine. But listen, Vivino, they suggest exciting personalized recommendation based on my taste. I never knew those wines existed, especially the ones that I've found recently. And now I know even more about what I like thanks to Vivino, and I'm kind of a wine snob. I'm not going to blame it on Vivino, but now they've allowed me to become, I don't know, maybe I just shock people with my wine knowledge. What do you think, Austin?
I think you're an idiot. Their app has everything you need to know about wine and so much more right in your hand. You can see all the ratings and reviews. You can leave your own and, of course, even buy wine. My favorite thing to do is to scan a bottle when I'm shopping in a store and seeing what Vivino's users say about it. I'm a huge fan of wine, and my taste is not restricted to one type. So it's really what I'm feeling. So sometimes I'm feeling a nice glass of Savvy B. Sometimes it's a bottle of rosé, and that is the lighter side. When I'm drinking at dinner, I want something heavier. I typically go to the Cab, but sometimes I'll go lighter to Pinot. I really just like what I want in the moment, and that is a lot of things. So Vivino just makes it so, so easy because they have a huge selection. There's such an ease of shopping, and it just has my favorite wines that I want to try every day.
He used to do everything I would do, and then now he has his own free-spirited wine ordering self. Anyway, look, if you want to be more like me and Austin, at least how we drink wine, because you know we drink a lot of it, but quality wine. We've really stepped up our wine game thanks to Vivino. I think you should give them a try, and I know you're going to love it. So go to vivino.com/pillowsandbeer and use code pillowsandbeer at checkout to save 20% on your first order up to $200. That's vivino.com, vivino.com/pillowsandbeer. Code PILLOWSANDBEER to save 20% on your first order of up to $200. Vivino.com/PILLOWSANDBEER. Code PILLOWSANDBEER. See site for details. Terms apply. 20% off your first order. Wouldn't it be great if there were a pocket-sized guide that helps you sleep, focus, act, and just be better in general? There is. And if you have 10 minutes, Headspace can change your life forever. Headspace is your daily dose of mindfulness in the form of guided meditations in an easy-to-use app. Headspace is one of the only meditation apps advancing the field of mindfulness and meditation through clinically validated.
So, whatever the situation, Headspace really can help you feel better. Overwhelmed? Headspace has a 3-minute SOS meditation for you. Need some help falling asleep? Headspace has wind-down sessions their members swear by. And for parents, Headspace even has morning meditations you can do with your kids.
Recently, I was a little overwhelmed with the opening of my store and just, I don't know, I was going through a breakup and it was a little chaotic and I didn't know where to turn. So I looked at Headspace, and Headspace really got me through it because it allowed me to focus and balance myself and learn how to channel those sad feelings that I was having. Headspace is backed by 25 published studies on its benefits, 600,000 five-star reviews, and over 60 million downloads.
You deserve to feel happier, and Headspace is meditation made simple. Go to headspace.com/pillows. That's headspace.com/pillows for a free 1-month trial with access to Headspace's full library of meditations for every situation. This is the best deal offered right now. Head to headspace.com/pillows.
All right, everybody, welcome back to episode 24 of Pillows and Beer. I'm here with my best pal, Austin, the beers to my pillow. And the keg of Trot Pop just kicked in the store. So he's been forced to switch to, actually, Hugie Street IPA.
Which is funny because what did we just talk about? This is the brewery that is going to start brewing my beer.
Oh, they do Hugie Street?
Yes.
Oh, cool.
Palmetto Brewing. So we are back. Episode 24. It's funny, Craig and I get in the same room and we just go back to our old ways no matter how our differences are or how much that we're quarreling. We just start to talk and riff, and that's how it normally always is, which is funny too, Craig, because people told me when I told them, I was like, well, I don't know. I haven't spoken to Craig. And they were like, you guys do this shit all the time. Yeah, I was like, yeah, I guess that's right.
What we can make an oath to our listeners today too and be like, as much as we're not talking, that we always talk through them then. Because even if this continues, it's like, yeah, well, next week we're going to talk through the mic.
But maybe one day we'll talk outside of the mic.
So, yeah. Hey, let's a therapy session.
But
so,
mom and dad fighting. Like, we don't want to. Like, we don't want to scare you guys. But I know we have with the delay in the last few weeks. And if you are just now joining us, we apologize. And we basically have been yelled at by our parents, Jerry and Nick, and snapped us into it. And we will not be missing any more weeks. So we're here to stay. And we've got our Christmas candle lit. It's the flame of our existence, friendship. I don't know, friendship, art, whatever the fuck we are now. I'm just kidding.
So we're back.
Can I tell you when Austin gets the most mad at me is when I call my coworker to people.
It's unbelievable. I'm like, don't you think we've been through so much together and so long? He's like, Austin's a coworker. I'm like,
who's that? I was like, oh, my coworker, Austin. He's just like, you're such a fucking
bitch. I'm going to start doing that now too, though. So then Craig and I are just literally going to refer to each other as coworkers.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, that's my coworker.
Craig. Season 3, Austin.
What? Anyways, what I want to talk about and what's interesting is that I'm actually interested in this. So I think that it would be fun for me to interview Craig on his new book. And there are many questions that I have, and I'm going to try to dive into a lot of them. Cool. Because I think it's interesting, A, that Craig is writing a book at the ripe age of 33. And I guess that he's going to tell us the difference between what a memoir and an autobiography and why he decided to do it. And if he's nervous, if there are stories that he's nervous for you to hear or excited for you to hear. So all the questions. Craig Conover is coming out with a new book. Craig, are you excited? Are you nervous? Are you
glad to be here? Long time listener, first time caller.
Are you coughing?
Yeah, stalling. No. Hey, I'm very excited, but I mean, I wouldn't say nervous. I mean, I'll get more nervous as the launch date, which is March 22nd, comes nearer, but the book's due in 3 weeks. You know, this kind of started as I've always wanted to do a cookbook, and you know, the talks kind of got started for that, and I was approached that I should do a memoir, and I was like, I haven't lived long enough to do that. Like, my life's not interesting. I was just very humble about it. I just didn't think that I had done enough to have a memoir yet, and I started talking and telling some stories, and they were interested, and I've been working on it for about a year now, which a lot of people don't realize when you announce the books that it's been going on for like about a year, which I really wanted to tell everyone, but I couldn't. And I have this amazing writer, his name's Blake, and we just, he gets me, and he is able to articulate into the writing form my stories and my ramblings. And I'm sure you'll get to this, but the first time I read my story,
kind of like right now when you're rambling, because I'm going to ask you the questions.
Yeah. No. What was the question?
It's good. It's good.
Because, I don't know what was the question.
Because the ghostwriter was, okay, the first question was, are you excited or are you nervous? Are you like a mixture of both? And that's fine to give like a rundown of the book, you know,
I would just say, I'm excited. The nerves haven't hit me yet.
Yeah. And I can understand a little bit, right, because of how we filmed the show. And then, you know, we're not nervous, of course. We're like, oh, yeah, cool, you know. And then as the date gets closer and closer to the release date of the show, we're like, oh, shit. Right. So, okay. So you're excited right now, and the nervousness will come later. Okay. You told us about your ghostwriter, Blake. That was going to be a question, so let's just talk about that. So how did you find Blake, and have y'all gotten along? Like, are these things that happen like us when we podcast, where we sit down and drink and then things begin to flow? Or like, does he call you once a week, twice a week, 3 times a week? Is this in person?
So Blake's a saint. He's amazing. He just understands my story, and we connected. I started with a really good writer here from Charleston, and as we progressed last year, we switched over to this writer from DC. He's a New York Times bestseller, you know, hand over hand. And this is our process.
What does that mean, hand over?
I don't know. I don't know what hand over and over, multiple, I don't know.
Okay.
This is why I'm not
like,
the writer.
I was like, is this the name of his book, Hand Over Hand?
So
or
we
are you trying to say that he is a seasoned writer.
A couple, yeah, he's a seasoned writer. So two times a week on average, we talk for an hour. I mean, sometimes it's more, sometimes it's less, but usually an hour. And my process is I get into my Jeep and I just drive in circles. And that's how we've written this book, is that I drive around downtown Charleston and I just do a loop that goes up to the Battery, down back to where we are now, up to the Battery, down where we are. I'll drive around Market and I just get lost in my car. I talked to him on speakerphone. Recently, the speakerphone in my car has messed up. And so I use my AirPods. But now when I try to do that, my car hangs up on them every time. So now I have to talk on speakerphone, but I still have to be in my car. So this whole entire book has been written from my car.
So you're just holding your phone up like this on speakerphone,
yes,
with the speaker angling at your face. Okay. Yes.
And then the first time I talked to him, I was in LA, and I don't know why I was in LA. Oh, it's because our Napa trip got canceled. Anyway, yes, that's how the book's written.
And that's kind of interesting in itself, because I would have thought maybe like a Zoom call, but I guess that when things flow for me as well is when I'm pacing, right? And driving kind of, it takes your mind off things. It's the same thing as pacing. So you drive and you talk. Okay.
So I talk and then he writes, and it's been a really cool experience, surprise of an experience.
Okay. Were there any stories or moments that you wanted or didn't want in the book that made or didn't make the cut, right? Like, are there things where you were like, oh, wait, well, I want this to make it. And then on the other side of it, there could be things where you're like, can we cut that? And he's like, no, Craig, I think that this has to make it so people can understand who you are more as a person.
So we haven't hit that phase yet. So that's definitely a question to ask this fall when it's to the higher ups and like the editing stages. I will say that I also can't answer that because I haven't read it, because I read the proposal when we put it together and I like bawled my eyes out. And I just feel like I do better just like with this podcast or with the show when I don't watch myself work or read myself work. But Jerry, I'm glad he's still next door buying our wine, whatever the hell he's doing, because he's been on me for days or like for weeks to read this, and I know I have to. And so hopefully by the time we record next week, I will have an answer to that. But yeah, so I haven't read what's been written yet, and we're almost done the book. So
are you saying that you have completed your, I'm sure that you'll never complete your talks and your interviews with your ghostwriter, because there's always, or with Blake, because there's always things that are going to pop up. But is there like a finality to the ending of your book?
Well, here, go. I'll go back to the stories making it. I have found myself recently when I'm laying in bed, like thinking about funny stories or talking to old college friends and keeping a notes in my phone where I'm like, fuck, I don't think this like fits in anywhere in the book, but just like random college adventures, like getting lost in a blizzard, you know, on a snowboard trip or something like that. So I don't know if all of my stories are going to make it, but a ton that you don't know about me. And yes, so go ahead with the next question.
Okay. So I do have some more questions, but I feel that because we're talking about how you guys are constantly talking, this is not the end all be all kind of end of your book. Did you leave the ending of your book open, Craig? Like, is there of course it's open because, you know, you're 33. So of course it's open. There's no finality to like your
right
story is just beginning in some regards, right?
Right. This new it's bigger than a chapter, but this part of my life hopefully is just beginning. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this is the finally figuring out what it is that makes you happy and what you want to do and what you've been successful in, and like that's kind of where the book ends, but in retrospect.
Yeah, but we hit on like we hit on my like, you know, relationships and stuff. And when I was writing the book, I was in a relationship. Now I'm not. And so it's fluid. Which you don't want it to be too fluid, but we're waving to people, blowing kisses. You don't want it to be too fluid because my past isn't changing. So that's what I think is something that we've done well, is that my current status in life isn't going to change the story that I'm telling. But I mean, there's been a lot of shit recently that happened, which, you know, Jerry showed up to my house and was like, do we need to talk about this? And my writer called me and was like,
do we need to talk about this, Greg?
And I was like, this is hilarious. Can you guess what I'm talking about?
Guys, and this is amazing. This goes to what we've been saying the entire time. I haven't spoken to Craig now in the longest time since we've known each other.
You know, bitch.
Just being a pussy.
Yeah.
And I didn't text him because it would have been the most obvious text in the world. And we had other shit to deal with. But like, you have this book out and, you know, the book will never be completely written, right, Craig? Like, you'll wake up in a week and you could write another chapter. And then a week after the book is released, another chapter. Naomi is single again. And I just feel, and you can refute this, and that's totally fine. I am not saying that this is true or not, but you've always carried a torch and a flame for Naomi.
Well, I mean, it was my first love. Yeah. So, I mean, the truth is, well, yeah, you always carry about them because you have this closeness with someone that I've never had before. You know, like when you're like, when you know them, like we know her and I, no matter what happens in either of our lives, we'll always know each other better than anyone on this planet. I mean, maybe our futures will change that. Maybe we'll meet someone that's different. But right now in our lives, we know each other better than anyone. So, you know, when all of that went down, obviously she's, you know, was a big part of my life. And
have
like,
you spoken to her? Have you spoken to her since?
Yeah, yeah.
You have?
Yeah.
On the phone?
We've talked about like,
on
yeah,
the phone,
I mean,
Craig, on the phone?
Yeah, we've talked on the phone once. Wow. It was one time.
Yeah.
Because look, it's been 3 years, 4 years. And, you know, at the end of the day, like I said, I don't, those close, like, I feel like in my life, even with my exes, like I could pick up the phone with them and it'd be like, you know, nothing ever happened. Except a lot happened.
Yeah, but what I've always said, and what you and I have always talked about, is that you and Naomi did not end in like a disastrous sort of
way.
Well,
we never ended it.
Y'all.
No, I'm saying, right, wouldn't you say, like, no one actually ever did. We just one day never talked again.
I think, okay.
But now, okay. Also, guys, don't freak out. I'm not saying this as like, is there a future? No, I'm just, I've been able to, since the Bahamas, to speak objectively about this.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, I'll always have an opinion, but.
And you guys, kind of like I'm saying, you guys did not have some sort of like crazy blow up or it was like, never speak to me again. No, you never speak to me again. You guys just literally went your own way. And that
well,
is
like
just
no one did anything
what
bad.
Happened.
That was the thing. Like no one did anything or unforgivable.
Yeah.
So yes, I mean, there's nothing juicy, but we've talked.
Okay, but that in itself, Craig, is juice, baby. That
really?
Is juice. Yeah, dude. I haven't spoken to you about it. It's the first time that
I've talked to Naomi
about
more
it.
About you than you and I have talked about Naomi.
Okay. See, and that. Okay, that's friendship, by the way, because that, you know, that means, dude.
She's calling me for whatever reason. I'm like, actually, I need you to hold your shit.
I got some shit done back on my own.
I need to tell you about Austin.
That's funny because, you know what? I've certainly spoken to you about to a few people. Anyways, I don't want to detract. I love talking about me, but this to me, because I haven't spoken to you, is so juicy. So you've spoken to Naomi.
I have.
I almost texted her, you know, but I was sitting there like, she's probably getting
well,
so
well, you like
many
all
texts,
of her pictures, so you might as well fucking text her.
Yeah. You heard it here first. Naomi and I are about to start dating because I like all the pictures. No, I have not spoken to her, and it makes me happy that you have.
Yeah. It was really nice stuff. And like you said, I said
30 minutes or longer.
I don't
Hell
know
yeah,
how much I want to get into.
Hell yeah, it was. I am guessing this was a solid. The over under on this conversation was 45 minutes.
We'll have you guys write in and tell us what you think. Over under was 45 minutes.
Over-under
and then I'll tell you next week.
45 minutes.
But look, anyone being like, oh God, like whatever your opinion is, I strangely can't really articulate to you guys how much of it was there was sometimes in your life, you just don't have anyone else to talk to than the person that at one point in your life was the closest person to you. It was very just being friends. And in a time where, you know, you get in these places in life where you're just like, I'm not saying that she didn't have anyone else to talk to, but we just talked and we used to be, you know, closer than anyone else. And so there was no like, it's not romantic. It's not like getting back together. It was just like, you know, Austin asked if we've talked. Yes, we've talked. It's the first time.
But from what I'm hearing, folks,
in a really long time,
the door is not being shut by Craig Conover.
Well, I don't live in the black and white area. I live in the gray area. But no, it was a nice conversation. She's doing fine. And I would say the funny part of this was that Jerry came in my house and was like, do we need to talk about this? Is this going to be a thing? And I was like, no, like nothing changes in my life.
Jerry, props to you. That's good.
It's the first thing he said. Manager. He came to pick me up for like the pillow party last week and was like,
slash friend.
We need to talk about this. And then my writer, Blake, was like, so do I need to leave something open? And I did say, though, that
in the book you're saying,
I think it would be appropriate now for him to talk to her. So he might talk to her to get her point of view on, you know, stuff.
Juicy.
But like, it's all about past stuff. It's not like, hey, guys.
Juicy.
All right, let's not make it too juicy because it's not. We just had a friend. Basically, that's two people that used to be like live together and had a conversation for the first time in 3 years. That's all.
And you know what? Let's leave it at that.
And tell me if you know a better person.
I am just saying because normally, like, I know everything that's happening and you and I talk, but I haven't. So now I'm sitting on the outside to it. And I'm like, okay, so
because you're on the outside of my circle now.
So, wow. Just as I co-host a podcast.
Can you tell me a better person to call, though, if something like that happens to you than me?
Dude, you're normally, like, my top two calls, Craig.
But that's – I'm saying, like, I actually am really good at talking people through shit. And, like, yeah. So that's what it was. But, yes, it's –
Yeah. I think – except for, like, you know, my last one, which was tough because understandably – and let me say this. Understandably, you were just, like – I can't hear about this topic fucking anymore.
Right.
Like, I'm checked out of this, and so are you. So I cannot give you advice on this topic. So,
but I usually have
yes,
good advice. Definitely. And honestly, yeah. So okay. Anyway, so the book, I don't know how it's going to end right now. Well,
because the chapter
we haven't written. We haven't written the end of the book yet.
Of course. Because there can't be an ending, Craig.
Right.
Because they're like, the ending is, and then Craig dressed up as Santa Claus on July 25th, and the rest is history. Like, no.
It's the beginning. My buddies said, and we might have to take this out, but they gave me a name for the book. And I was like, if there's a second book, that's where I got to include all these crazy stories. And so this is called Pillow Talk.
Craig's Revenge.
And everyone should book go two. To Barnes & Noble's or Amazon or wherever and pre-order, because it would really help me out. It would be awesome. But... The Pillow Chronicles.
That's
and I was
book.
Like, no, that's like the name of the book is Pillow Talk, but I was like, The Pillow Chronicles.
That sounds like the sequel to The Matrix, you know, like The Matrix, The Matrix 2, Chronicles,
right,
Matrix 3.
What's your next question?
Okay, so.
Wait, so the asking how the story ended was based off Naomi.
Yeah, it was.
Okay.
Definitely.
Fine. That's fair.
I wanted to bait you into it and thank you for sharing.
Wait, so and you didn't know that we had talked or anything?
No.
Yeah.
Nope. So am I in your book? And I guess with that question, I mean, of course I'm in your book.
You have been written out of the book.
I'm calling bullshit because,
yeah. Have you talked to Blake yet? You're supposed to talk to him. I think
for like a
half hour, if you don't mind.
Are
you into dinner?
Yeah. Blake and I spoke briefly, but you barely scratch the surface, Greg. I need to tell him what an asshole you are.
Yeah, right.
And what a fucking
yeah. So you are in the book, and unlike you read the proposal, didn't you? And you cried.
No, you read it to me. I was at your house, and you read it to me, and you read it the way that it should be read. And yeah. My eyes got a little misty
on like 10 pages of it. And for all those asking on Instagram, and I should respond.
So
I will be reading the audiobook.
Okay, good. Okay.
Because people ask me a lot, like, am I going to read my own audiobook? And I will be the narrator.
My question was going to be, when does the audiobook drop? Because when we talked to Lala, Lala said that she had some teary-eyed moments. And I have no doubt that you're going to have some teary-eyed moments when you're reading it. And that's going to be kind of cool and powerful, to be honest.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty incredible. Also, I'm just going to pause here and say that Jerry is the most transparent person in the world. He just didn't want to bring us the fucking wine because he didn't want us to get too drunk. And so he hasn't brought us back a bottle of wine. But it's okay. I'm just going to call him out.
Jerry, you're fired again.
He's always fired. And we never rehire him. He just shows up.
Hey, we should get Nick to look at the window so that Nick can enjoy our
view. Oh, yeah. Watch Main Street Force and take screenshots when you can.
Because they're at, dude. You see him?
So I thought it was really neat when Lala said that because I didn't even think about that. And I haven't suffered, you know, a loss like losing a parent. But there's been some shit that's going to be hard to get through. And I will say that I'm fully transparent in this book about everything, but I'm very kind and respectful when it comes to like my relationships. And I don't know what's going to make me cry because honestly, when I read you the proposal, it was about me like waking up next to a dumpster and then me being in the store, like, or me being at a pillow party and my parents, like, I think I'll be able to read it as true as it is because it is fully transparent. So you'll probably get some tears from me. Do you think they leave the tears in like when in Lala's book, do you think they like, they don't make her do it until she's reading it without crying?
I would venture to say that.
Because then you would ball your eyes. Like if I was listening to that and I heard Lala start crying, I would ball my eyes out.
Definitely, because they want real and raw emotion, right? And
but do they? I didn't know that.
I would think that unless it gets to be like a blubbering, right? Where you're like, and then and if you can't hear what she's saying, then they're like, we need you to re-record this.
Oh, that makes sense.
But if you have some real and honest like emotion to where it's clear that you're being choked up, I have no doubt that they'd probably enjoy that more.
It makes sense.
Or not enjoy that more. You know, they're not like crack, crack.
No, but it's authentic.
Right.
Yeah.
But they just want the authenticity of it, which is what we would hope. Okay. So the last thing that I have written down is, did you want to write this book or was this like a Jerry thing or I mean, you know, your business partners, like, and how do your parents feel that you've decided to write it? Are they excited? Are they nervous? So it's not one question. It's like four about how you decided, I guess, that you were going to write this book. Because I'm sure, because I don't view you as a narcissist, Craig. Okay. And this is like a nice thing to say. And that I bet that you at one point as I would as well. If someone was like, you should write a book. I'd be like, I'm not interesting enough. Like, of course, you know, Shep was like, well, my life is so interesting. And he was like, I'm going to write it. But I feel like you had to be pushed. And yeah. Tell me if that's true or not.
No, I mean, that's 100%. Sorry. Yeah, that was 100%. I didn't feel worthy of writing a book. And it really took me starting to tell stories. And honestly, this is the one that kind of sold it to me to give this a chance was somehow Adderall got brought up. And I told, you know, the story of how I stopped taking Adderall or why I didn't. It was because I was in the water in the Bahamas and I was on shark patrol and Graham and Anna Hayward were in the water spearfishing and a shark was approaching. And I tried to hold my breath to go underwater so I could veer off this shark if he came near us. And I couldn't hold my breath more than 2 seconds because my heart was beating out of my chest because I took an Adderall before getting on the boat at 10 in the morning because I just, that's what I did. And I was like,
this is a story in your book.
Well, yeah, this is how it all started basically. And I was like, so that's why I stopped taking Adderall. Like, what do you want to know? And they were like, Craig, that's a story. And I was like, what do you mean it's a story? And they were like, that is a fucking story. And I was like, oh, well then this happened too. And they were like, also Craig, the reason I kind of got into it was I've messed up so much in my life and not terrible mess ups, but like I've done what everyone else has done. And they basically told me that I could help a lot of people potentially by talking about like, hey, I was 30 years old waking up next to a dumpster. Like I messed up again, but now I have this big successful company. Like
I was there.
Yeah, you were there. I was there. You were 5 miles away.
Next to the dumpster.
But you were there in that story. And so basically the direction that we've taken with this book is it's a feel good story to like curl up on the couch and read. But I hope it makes everyone feel better about themselves as being like what you see on Instagram all the time. Like that's not everything. Like the people that you see on Instagram.
I was like, how the hell did someone just get in the store?
Anyway, like it's basically like, look, we all have fucked up. We've all done dumbass shit and it's not too late. And tomorrow is the next day of the rest of your life. And that's what I really push in the book. So Jerry just walked in. He can tell you, I didn't think I deserved a book. I didn't think I was interesting enough for a book. But as we started to tell the stories, they said I potentially had a chance to help people. Because he was
what
like,
are you talking about?
Austin said I wasn't a narcissist. And like, he was like, you don't want to shock me as one that would want to tell everyone your story. So how did you get sold on writing a book?
I'm going to say we got sold on writing
not
a book.
Whatever. I'm just saying like, yeah, why did I decide to do it? And I was like, because I told the Adderall story from the islands. And
I think you're very relatable. And I think that's the biggest piece of it. And people go through a lot of shit. People feel like they're the only ones going through it, but we all go through most of the same stuff together. And I don't know. So far, we're what, like 8 chapters in of 12?
Yeah, I mean, we've talked a lot about it.
All right. So I feel like I've picked Craig's brain a bunch. I'm sure there's a whole bunch more questions that y'all have. And if you do, of course.
Go on if you guys don't mind if you feel like it, it's up to you guys. But the numbers are all based off like pre-sale stuff. And I know the book doesn't come out till March, but if you'd like to pre-order it, it would be amazing. It's called Pillow Talk. It's on all the major book websites. And Austin, did I answer all the questions or was there something?
So I asked the questions that were burning in my brain. I'm sure that y'all sitting there in the car or your house or shower, wherever you are listening, are like, no, ask him this. And if you have these questions, then as always, you need to email theboys@pillowsandbeer.com and Craig will answer a bunch of these questions. I think it's great. And Craig, where can people pre-order your book?
So obviously Amazon, Barnes & Noble, I don't know the other major sites, but you can. And I there's a really healthy mix of things that you never saw on TV, explanation of some of the things that you did, but it's fun and I think you'll enjoy it. With that said, thanks for the interview, Austin. I enjoy being interviewed because I think it's easier than interviewing. And with that, we're going to take a quick break for a second for our sponsors, and we'll be right back. This is Pillows and Beer with Austin and Craig.
I got to tell you, Austin, brushing my teeth is one of my kind of my favorite pleasures in life, one of them. It's one of those things that I love doing, but I also can't leave my house without doing. Actually, I got to my store the other day, realized that I hadn't brushed my teeth that morning, and went to the store to buy a toothbrush and toothpaste to brush my teeth in the sink at the store, but it wasn't my Bruce toothbrush at home. So even though it did the trick, it wasn't near the experience I have when brushing with this soft polishing brush that I've discovered with Bruce. I mean, it really, you remember that feeling that you had when you first got your braces off and you just ran your tongue across your teeth for days? I mean, I do that every day because of my Bruce toothbrush.
When I'm using Bruce, honestly, it just feels so good to know that my teeth have gotten such a good clean. It kind of feels like I've been to the dentist. You know that feeling where there's like a space between your teeth? It's so, so good. I have perfected the smile over the years because sometimes I'm like, well, I don't know what my teeth are looking like. But after I use this Bruce toothbrush, it makes me feel so much more confident. And that is more than anyone could ever ask.
So let me tell you about Bruce. It has 6 unique modes to customize your brushing experience. It's a 4-week battery life. It's a magnetic charging stand and compact travel case. So everything's really convenient. They also have this subscription program, so you never forget to change your brush head again. Bruce ships you new replacement heads every 6 months, so you're never stuck using a worn-down brush head.
Get 15% off your Bruce toothbrush kit and refill plan when you use promo code PILLOWSANDBEER at Bruce.com. That's 15% off using promo code Pillows and Beer at Bruush, Bruush.com.
We're partnering with Vincero and are super stoked. Vincero is the premier maker of men's and women's accessories. These guys sell everything from watches to sunglasses, bracelets, and wallets, all available for under $200. Vincero knows just how important it is to look and feel your best, and they're here to help keep us looking good wherever we go.
Finding a timepiece that's stylish, classy, and downright sexy can cost a pretty penny. Vincero is changing that. They believe you deserve to look good no matter what your budget is. Their products are the perfect gift for any guy out there, especially since us guys can be a pain to shop for. Whether it's a gift for your special someone or a gift for yourself, Vincero makes it so you don't have to choose between function, looks, or price. They are the best of three words. They are the best of three worlds, and they make shopping for that special someone a breeze. Head over to VinceroCollective.com/pillows. Check out our favorite products and take advantage of our special 15% off site-wide discount while you shop.
Vincero is loved by some of your favorite entrepreneurs, athletes, and podcast hosts like us. And we love our Vincero watches. Any guy would be so happy wearing one of their products. Vincero understands the frustrations of online shopping. These guys get it. And that's why they make it as easy as possible for you. Every purchase automatically comes with a 5-year warranty and a 365-day return policy. It's honestly stress-free shopping with fair and honest prices. That's why Vincero has over 30,000 five-star reviews from verified customers that you can read for yourself on their site. They think you deserve the best, and they are here to prove that they are the best.
So go get yourself the best dang watch for the lowest price out there. Go to VinceroCollective.com. VinceroCollective.com/pillows. Support our show. Head over to the website right now and get yourself a timepiece. Go to our link and use the discount Pillows and Beer for 15% off plus free shipping. This is a buy you won't regret. We promise. You'll be helping us out. You'll be helping yourself look, and we'll all be looking fresh to death.
Welcome back to episode 24 of Pillows and Beer with your favorite boys, Austin and Craig. We are here. We are having so much fun.
Having our buddy Jerry hasn't gotten the memo that he's been fired yet again today, and he is now here. He's brought us our wine.
Craig, I can't believe that he has a key still.
Meatballs, and he forgot my cheese. Okay. So he's Craig. Once again fired, but he's here.
Jerry, thank you for meatballs.
Why don't you say hello?
I get fired every week. They fire each other every day. If y'all saw the text thread I have between these two idiots and an individual, you'd lose your mind. They are the biggest pansies, but I'm glad they're back together. They've kissed and made up. So let's go.
What if
we're podcasting?
Craig and I just whooped Jerry's ass.
You guys are so small. Swoley Mammoth got me big. You guys are weak.
So
weak.
It'd be like dad strength.
You are dead.
What's the experience dealing with Craig and Austin when they have a falling out?
Please, Jerry.
We have to have a whole episode on this one just alone.
He's also still fired.
So we have a Pillows and Beer text thread. It's just you two. We obviously, Craig and I are showing down south on our own, and then Austin and I have one. Like, if you think you're in a fight with your girlfriend or significant other or husband, wife, whatever it might be, multiply by 50 and you get Craig and Austin. They are like two high school little girls who just cannot get over their own little shit. So recently, I don't know if they got into it or not. I'm not going to get into it, but they had their own little spat. Neither would text each other.
There should be some in there.
They were mad at each other. So they would text me.
They're not in here.
I don't know where it would be.
The keg?
No, I'm saying Jesus fucking shares the scripture.
Yeah, it's true.
Well, we have wine, Austin.
They, no joke, I mean, they're fuming and they're bitching and they're moaning, but they're only doing it to me. So I try to rectify it by, you know, playing the nice friend and telling the other one to do something or call them. Well, that just backfired. And then it turned into me just telling them they're both acting like little bitches and they needed to grow up and call each other, which, of course, they didn't. If you
because the other one was being a little bitch. And...
Yeah, because you're both being little bitches. But they're both very passive aggressive. So they're all big and bad when they're not talking to each other. But when they're talking to me, they are. But then they don't want to say it to each other's face. I don't know how many times I told Craig to call Austin. He wouldn't do it. Finally, you did write a text that I thought was very appropriate and sent it. And then Austin finally agreed and was like, I agree with you.
I'm being a little bitch too. And Craig's like, I'm being a little bitch too. And then finally, but I'm making it up because you kind of
see Jerry doesn't help this by
because oh my god, they're like little children, and I mean it's just unbearable at times. But you know, then they come back together. Are you guys talking? Like, I mean, you're podcasting right now, so I guess that's good. In a week, they'll love each other. In 2 weeks, they'll hate each other. In 3 weeks, they'll be back together. I mean, it's literally like another relationship. You see it all on TV.
It depends on Austin's behavior. We'll see.
Depends if Craig quits being such a little pussy. Yeah. But.
Well, now Jerry, even though we fired him, he's moving here.
That's
so
true.
Are you excited to move down to Charleston? Jerry, are you excited to move back to Charleston? Which I've known you were moving here for a while because of Alexis. Once you came down here from DC, like, my cop looks like he's on more drugs than anyone else on the street. Anyway, Alexis was like, yeah, we're not going back to DC. So what do you think? You excited?
Yeah, except we did go look at our first house and it was 4 blocks from you in your neighborhood. And I texted you, like, we might move in your neighborhood. Then we looked at the house. House looked great online. Got there. Smelled like complete cat piss. So we decided not to buy it.
My whole team will be in my community, which will be amazing. A lot of my team.
I'm not moving in your community anymore, but I'm moving a mile away. If it closes, we'll see. Austin just bought a house. You understand how stupid this market is. It's been ridiculous.
And I'm impressed and surprised that your offer got
accepted
as quickly as it did.
She's a nice lady. Like your mother, she's a good cook. She's a huge fan of Sewing Down South and Southern Charm, so I think that might have helped. I might have slid into her inbox from Sewing Down South.
How many pillows did you give away?
No pillows yet, but I did DM her from Sewing Down South.
Oh.
Bam. But I'm excited, except that just means I'm going to be around you two a lot more, which is truly upsetting, but it'll go on.
Jerry,
I feel like you really accepted this as your life.
Jerry, Craig and I give you absolute life. Don't for one second try to make it seem like we don't. We make you feel young, because other than us, you're kind of boring as fuck.
That's mean.
When are you going to go hit golf balls off New York skyscrapers again?
I live in D.C.
Or like do commercials with Super Bowl quarterbacks? I mean, your life was not that fun before.
Yeah, Jerry, I know. I've gone to D-list celebrities.
Jerry went from,
Tom
doing
Brady,
Red Bull commercials.
Tom Brady to YouTube.
Who was the guy that hit the golf balls
Ricky
off?
Fowler.
Yeah, Fowler, Tom Brady. But hey, look where you ended up. Cool. Right here, where you're supposed to be. Decorating.
God bless America.
A little store like Christmas because of a Hallmark.
God bless America.
Great promotion on your part, though. I will lie.
Austin's been watching it all month, too.
I know.
Pillow party in the store. Pillow fight.
Craig, 2020, which is very interesting. 2020 Olympics are happening this year in 2021.
I love it. I'm a huge Olympics guy.
Me too.
Big, big Olympics guy.
Huge.
What is
your favorite event?
Gymnastics.
Really?
Girls gymnastics.
Girls, like,
guys gymnastics freaks me out.
The Simone Biles is like.
Some of my like strongest childhood memories is watching the Olympics with my parents. I don't know why, but it was always like the girls Olympics. And remember when.
Did you go
was
to Atlanta?
Was her name Carrie?
No. Did you go to Atlanta?
No.
I did.
I didn't like go down. I didn't travel. Never mind. Suzanne and go down south when I was a kid. I went to Florida.
Why not? For the Olympics, Greg?
When were they in Atlanta?
The Olympics.
Also, you have to cut that out.
Keep it all.
No, I didn't go to.
Keep it all.
Yeah. Let's fuck it. Spotify.
Keep it all.
Craig
did not go to Atlanta because he's a wuss. No, Craig, you go to Atlanta because your parents didn't take you there. That's it.
Well, like, I also didn't have the money to go to Atlanta when I was a kid. Yeah, we weren't like going to the Olympics wealthy when I was small.
Dude, going to the Olympics is not like, wealthy. It's like for the common man.
I'm pretty sure. Well, in my head, it was like going to the Super Bowl. Like going to the Olympics would cost to the Super Bowl.
No. If you went to Tokyo, sure, but in Atlanta, like to go to like a track.
We would have been in Japan.
I saw Michael Johnson run in 96.
Really?
Pretty rad.
That's cool. Yeah. Wait. All right. So this is why gymnastics is my favorite event.
Okay.
Remember when, I think her name was Carrie something. Remember she did the vault with a broken ankle and she hit it like 10 out of 10 and we won the fucking gold medal. Do you know what I'm talking about, Jerry?
I feel like this is
a Craig
made up story.
No, are you guys kidding me?
Carrie, no, this is a real thing. Nike did like a whole commercial about it and everything.
She had a broken ankle. She still did the vault, got a 10 out of 10, won the Olympics.
Did she have short hair?
Yes, very short hair. This was like back in like the 80s, right?
No, it wasn't in the 80s because I was alive and I watched it. It was probably 94.
Carrie Strug.
Yeah, Carrie Strug. What year did?
It would have been
96.
Atlanta Olympics, Craig.
Okay, so I
probably was there.
So it was Atlanta.
Okay, so you were at the Olympics. Okay, so what's your favorite Olympic sport?
I really, really like to watch swimming. I think it's awesome.
So it gets a little monotonous, but.
Okay.
But I did just watch all the trials when I was home in Delaware because that was all that was on.
Okay. And we have the best female swimmer in the world, like basically the Michael Phelps of swimming.
Yeah, she's great.
The Michael Phelps of gymnastics with Simone Biles and I don't know her.
You know, some, like, they're changing the scoring because Simone is so good. They're changing the scoring of the vault to fuck with her.
I know that she did an interview saying that, listen, if it was anyone else, then this would be a cut and dry case. But they, I'm assuming, are the Olympic committee, are tired of seeing me win everything. Yeah. And I thought that was a bold ass bomb.
She's wearing a goat.
Like, you go, girl. You are the goat.
She bejazzled a goat or bedazzled.
Bejazzled. My ex-girlfriend bejazzled one time.
It's amazing. Nick, write that down. We have to explore that story. She bedazzled a goat on her shoulder, like Simone did in the trials, and was wearing that on her shoulder. And I was like, that's badass as shit.
Definitely.
I like the weird sports like ping pong and shot put and like
canoeing.
Well, they don't air like, well, dude, I watched the girl run, the sprinter, like the fastest girl in the world right now. I watched her with my parents. And I'm heartbroken because at the end, she goes, no one can take this from me. No one can take this from me. I made it. I'm an Olympian. Like, you have no idea what I grew up. And then they took it from her.
Straight up.
Over fucking weed.
She took it from herself.
Yeah, if you've won, you've won. I mean, like, do you, like, Reggie Bush? Does Reggie Bush give a shit that he got his
high? Dude, this girl, if you saw her interview and, like, her story with her mom and, like, she ran into the crowd and hugged her grandma, like, she, like, going to the Olympics would have made it all worth her, and it was pretty fucked up. And also, we're going to lose a medal over it. She's our fastest sprinter in the
But all the girls in front of her, Craig, like that run for Jamaica and everything, they've all run faster times than she's ever run before.
Wow. So,
but still, it's
way
sucks.
To shit on America, Nick.
Hey, the Jamaicans are faster.
I think it's bullshit because if you think
Jerry is hired again.
The thing is, like, they said that weed was a performance enhancing, and I was like, if you could sprint. Well, hi. I don't think.
Okay. This brings up one of my absolute favorite tweets, and it keeps on getting circulated. Where basically, it's like, why not let everyone just take all the performance enhancing drugs and let's see just how far that the human body can go. Like, how many?
I agree.
Dane Cook.
Let's just let them all take HGH or roids or any other performance enhancing. Let's see how far. They can go.
I would vote for that. I would 100% be in for that.
How high can a human actually jump?
What do you think?
How fast can a human actually run?
Would you be happy with that?
Yes.
I would.
I would watch those dope.
What if people's hearts were exploding on the track and they were falling out?
Well, Craig, don't put that on me, dude.
I wouldn't care. I wouldn't care.
Listen,
I
would be like, you wanted to be there.
Right.
And you wanted to have all the sex.
Yes.
Right? Because
I think we've been watching The Boys too much.
Because like the Irish
on Amazon?
Yeah, it reminds me of The Boys.
Like the Irish athlete. You said the Irish athlete debunked the theory. He got on top of his bed and was jumping up and down on it. And he was like, my bed will not break.
Oh, the sex bed?
Fuck. And I'm like, it's because you're Irish. You're probably like 5'6". You weigh 110 pounds. And
oh, God. Let's bring all the stereotypes in.
No. You have fair skin and red hair. And your last name is McElmurray.
But yeah, so I love the Olympics. It's my favorite time of like, other than Christmas, it's where
basketball.
I can just.
Basketball.
I hate basketball. It's my least favorite sport.
Basketball is so good because we normally dominate it, but we've been losing.
I like putting on the Olympics because for 2 weeks or 3 weeks or a month, there's always something on. But I like the weird ones that they don't air. Like ping pong is fantastic.
Is that a summer game?
I think surfing's back in the games.
And it's back in the games.
Well, we'll do a whole Olympic episode. Now that we're podcasting again.
This is – okay.
We've got to get Jack back on the podcast.
How much more angrier we could get with each other than what we have been and still ever talk. But we do it so much. So. I mean, we talk to each other through our microphones, but not in person.
Hold on.
I feel like
this
you're
is a good,
apart.
This is a good space.
This is the biggest, the most space we've ever sat apart.
I know. I'm serious. Really.
This is a good time to tell you to email in your questions about your favorite Olympic sports, and let's dive more into those next week when we're balls deep in the Olympics.
And ask us some trivia about your favorite stuff. to be like, can you tell us what's in the decathlon? Can you explain what the hell a shot put is? Can you tell us what, like, you know,
shot put is a heavy ball on a decathlon.
Here's a big one. What are the rules in the long jump? Can you put your hand down or can't you? Because that has changed since we were little.
I thought that if you fell on your ass or fell on your butt when you jumped, that your score was disqualified or that you were DQ'd.
Or that it was your butt.
But apparently it's where your heels touch.
Yeah, but when we were little, you weren't allowed to put your hand down.
Definitely not, I think.
Okay, so email us in that stuff.
Email us at theboys@pillowsandbeer.com.
With that said, go America, red, white, and blue. I would love – I know we've met – we had some Olympians on here on our podcast, and I think having some of their gear would be the coolest thing ever. Actually, the guy that cuts Austin and I's hair, Mason, shout out to Mason Aguirre Colt Barbershop. It is the finest haircut that I've had in years.
Another one.
In years.
He did me a real
– And he is a USA Olympian.
Is he?
Yeah, Mason is.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, him and Sean White. Rode together in the Olympics.
Really?
Yeah. So like, I was like, do you still have your gear? Because I would love to wear your coat.
I met a curler. I know that that's the Winter Games, but
well, so is snowboarding.
Okay, true. I've been drinking.
Luke actually challenged Austin about the curler that he knew because Luke.
He did challenge me. Didn't
tried to big time him with the new curlers that he knows.
I was like, are you big timing me about curling, dog?
Yes, that happened.
Okay, because I do know a curler, okay? Matt Hamilton. Shout out to my boy, Matt. He is the man. He's got nice long flow. He is the nicest guy. He brought his medal out to this tournament and let anyone who wanted a picture take
one. That's cool.
He brought the medal out. He has a special pouch. He's awesome. I have a picture of me on my neck.
Yeah, dude. But we went by the curling facility in Minnesota.
6 pounds.
Really?
Solid gold.
Isn't it bad enough to let somebody else wear your medal?
It's not solid anymore. The last time they were solid was like in the 60s. But I didn't want to blow your bubble. But I watch a lot of – I'm an Olympics nerd. Like I watch all of it.
Okay. Well, Matt Hamilton, dude, we should get him on one time.
That would be cool. So tell everyone that doesn't know what you're talking about who Matt Hamilton is.
So Matt Hamilton is an Olympic curler. I'm pretty sure he's from Wisconsin.
But he was on our gold medal team.
He was on the gold medal winning team.
When's the last time we won the gold medal in curling?
I don't know. In 2016.
But that was the first time?
I think so, yes, because it's always like
Swedes, I feel like. Yeah.
Or Canadians.
Nordics. Nuts. Yeah.
Yeah. Or some, you know, what do you call that? Like, you know, the
Nordic.
The Nordics.
Like what?
Nordic.
Svens, probably. Yeah. Great curler.
A bunch of Svens always.
Oh, Nick, write this down. Let's do a Disney edition of Pillows and Beer. That's going to be great. Disney edition, Pillows and Beer, or a section. I don't have an answer for this one, but someone asked that their buddy's coming to town for a trip. Is there anything outside of food and the beach? It's a must-do in the Charleston area. I will give this to you guys.
I have a good question. Hold on.
I procrastinate through eating.
Yes. I think.
Wait, are you talking about food places? Because no. I can probably. No.
Outside of food and the beach, what can you do here? I know we have exotic animals somewhere.
That going to fun spots like the Windjammer is a fun, like you get out of town, you go to a place on the beach.
For live music.
What?
For live music. For like you go to the Windjammer. For
live music. And you can put your feet, your toes in the sand, listen to live music. It's a fun bar on IOP. Let's see.
The aquarium.
I took Sierra there.
I know, which is funny because it's such a Craig move. And then, like, you guys called us from the aquarium and we were laying on the couch. And I was like, that's 100% something that I do. And I don't know about you, but.
What's the big tree? No, the Kiowa.
The aquarium.
Aquarium's sweet. We've got soccer and baseball, River Dogs games, low key, super fun.
River Dogs games are.
Charleston Battery, fun. If you're a history buff, if you're a history buff, go to
Mike Tyson has entered the building.
Yeah, then the Yorktown, which is the only surviving ship from the Battle of Midway, or surviving aircraft carrier. And so you'll actually see the Yorktown in the movie Battle of Midway, and that is here that you can tour. Haunted as shit.
And then there's the Hunley, right, which is the submarine.
Yeah.
If you want to go in that same.
I love doing the Haunted Jail. I took Stassi there. I took Kristen Doty, some other friends. Like, the Haunted Jail is actually pretty fun if you like haunted stuff. There's an old pirate jail downtown. Is there some activities to do?
Yeah, there's certainly more.
There's gardens.
There's certainly more, but I think that seeing some live music, going to the old jail.
Honestly, what Austin and I like to do when people come into town, I mean, we have a golf cart to do it on, but you can do it on a rickshaw. I would do it on a rickshaw. It's too hot for the horses. Don't go on the horses.
I get a lot of DMs about that. Do you?
The golf cart?
Like, how can I get a famous Austin and Craig?
So go to the Battery, ride around like Rainbow Row. There's so much history. Rainbow Row, I'm pretty sure, was the first brothels in the country. So a ton of history, and it's great. All right, everyone. Jerry has added so much to our podcast now that I think Austin and I both need a break to recover from that amazing shit that he gave us. So quick word from our sponsor, and we'll be right back.
Austin, I got to tell you that recently I've started to run again. When I woke up, instead of going from my bed to the couch and being all kind of depressed, which I didn't even know what that was, I started running. Well, it's been great, and it jump starts my day. But what I didn't know is that I had to fuel my body appropriately, and Liquid IV helps me. It helps keeps me hydrated throughout the night into the morning for my morning run. And then when I get back from my run, I use it to rehydrate for the day. It jumpstarts me, it clears my headspace, it gives me energy, and just makes me an all-around better person. These hot summer months are here to stay, and in Charleston, we know all about that heat. And we need to be proactive to keep our body fueled up and hydrated, especially now that I'm on this new fitness plan, and Liquid IV is really helping me on this journey.
What makes Liquid IV so effective, you ask? Cellular transport technology. The optimal ratio of glucose, sodium, and potassium delivers water and nutrients into the bloodstream. It's the perfect balance to help you hydrate more quickly and effectively than water alone. One stick of Liquid IV in 16 ounces of water hydrates faster and more efficiently than water alone.
Grab your Liquid IV in bulk nationwide at Costco, or you can get 25% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use the code PILLOWSANDBEER at checkout. That's 25% off anything you order when you get better hydration today using promo code PILLOWSANDBEER at liquidiv.com. 25% off anything you order. liquidiv.com, use code PILLOWSANDBEER. I have to tell you guys about this amazing service that I've been using called FrameBridge. Look, FrameBridge makes it easier and more affordable than ever to frame your favorite things. Sorry, hold on.
Frame your favorite things. Yeah. Frame your favorite things.
FrameBridge makes it easier and more affordable than ever to frame your favorite things without ever leaving the house. And gosh, do I know how to do things without leaving my house? Anna Hayward especially appreciates this new service. Add a gallery wall to your home office or send the perfect gift. From art prints and diplomas to the photos sitting on your phone, you can FrameBridge just about anything.
So here's how it works, y'all. Just go to FrameBridge.com and upload your photo, or they'll send you packaging to safely mail in your physical pieces. Preview your item online in dozens of frame styles and gallery wall layouts. Choose your favorite or get free recommendations from their talented designers. The experts at FrameBridge will custom frame your item and deliver your finished piece directly to your door, ready to hang. Instead of the hundreds you'd pay at a framing store, their prices start at $39 and all shipping is free. Plus, our listeners will get 15% off their first order at FrameBridge.com when they use our code Pillows and Beer. Order online at FrameBridge.com or stop by a FrameBridge store to work with a designer in person if you're in New York, DC, Atlanta, or Philly.
As Austin knows, I just recently opened a law firm and the new office just felt very cold to me. I also heard from people on Instagram that it didn't seem personable. And I said, you know what? I'm missing some frame pictures, but I have a lot of pictures from the Bahamas that I love. And my parents and I took a picture at a famous pier down there. Actually, it's the cover shoot to Austin and I's Pillows and Beer. It's on the Pink Pier. And I had the picture of me and my parents printed out and framed by FrameBridge, sent to my office, and now it's hanging on my wall. So get started today. You can frame your photos or send someone the perfect gift. Gosh, this is an amazing gift. Go to FrameBridge.com and use promo code Pillows and Beer to save an additional 15% off your first order. Just go to FrameBridge, FrameBridge. .com, promo code Pillows and Beer for 15% off your first order. FrameBridge.com, promo code Pillows and Beer.
I've got it. And we're back with episode 24, Pillows and Beer. Thank God Jerry's not on here anymore to soil
and sully the good name
of
our
podcast.
Here.
He's still here.
Yeah, but he has no microphone in front of him, thank God.
Alston, we've got some listener/Nick questions, and I'd love to wrap up the episode with this. I hope you guys have had a great time listening to episode 24, Pillows and Beer. I know we do our best to piss you guys off with our instability of our relationship, but we are back, not stronger than ever, but we promise you guys we will never leave you again. Follow me on Instagram, CA Conover. Follow Alston at Kroll the Warrior King. Follow Trop Hop. King's Calling. Follow King's Calling on Instagram, Sewing Down South on Instagram, Conover Law Firm if you have any legal questions in the South Carolina area. And okay, here we go. Alston, we've talked about how to slide into someone's DMs. Well, I slid into someone way out of my league and she responded. Nice. I then had no idea what to do if they actually responded. I hadn't thought that far into it. So, like, I'm good in person, but via the internet, I'm tragic. What's my move? Honestly, phenomenal question.
Honestly,
I was drunk.
I want an air high five for this person.
Who... It's Nick.
Oh, it's me.
Well, I didn't know if you wanted us to say your name.
It's Nick.
Nick, you sad, tragic fuck. I love it. I love it. Okay.
Sad, tragic fuck?
Well, it says
STF. That's going to be our first acronym on Pillows and Beer. You sad, STF. Fuck.
Because, Nick, I have to say to you that clearly you're not that tragic on the internet because this girl responded to you. Okay. A. B. She probably doesn't know how tall you are. That's a good thing. I'm kidding. I think that your next move, Nick, okay? Wait. I then had no idea what to do if they actually...
No, they said, hey, back. So what's he do?
So, well, I need to know now, Nick. Did you, like, what was your opening line to them? Just like, hey.
Here, I'll pull it up.
You want me to? I haven't pulled up. You sent it to me.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I did text Jerry.
Nick is excited about this.
Oh, he's so excited.
Oh, I need answers.
Have you replied yet, Nick?
No.
To clarify, it was to an influencer.
Correct.
It wasn't like just, it's an influencer. He slid into her DM and she replied, said, shoot your best shot, basically. He said, sliding in since I have no chance. You're already downplaying yourself. Damn, dude. Come on.
Okay.
To get help with people I might have a chance with. She goes, let's see what you got. See?
And then, here, let me see this. Let me see. Yeah.
Nick, I'll show you her handle. Nick sent it to me, too.
Yeah, let me see the handle.
That lady's definitely trying to get in here. Slime. Sorry, we're closed. I apologize. Here, let me pull it up, too.
Nick,
I'll show you who she is.
I applaud you, okay? I think that next time you don't downplay yourself so much.
Never downplay yourself.
Well, to be fair, I didn't remember sending this message. I was like blackout when I sent this, and I woke up the next morning to a reply.
Like, your vernacular in it is so off and so broke. I'm surprised that she did respond.
Well, I tend to, like I said, I do better in person. I don't know how to like fly over the fucking internet.
Okay, Alston.
Whoa, she's a little rocket ship, my man.
Alston, you got to play a little hard to get. Like, I tell Alston to not send emojis.
Yeah. Okay, listen, the emoji thing for me, I love it.
We can have a whole game thing on it. Alston, let's make this very simple.
Okay.
Take it from, what did he say initially?
Dude, it's
no, no.
It's so
first
bad.
Message.
It's so bad.
Okay, you don't have to read that. Second
message. Fuck you, Alston.
Alston, just read it. We're on.
I can't. Oh, she said. She said.
She said she was right.
Okay. I-I-I-I-G-H. Like, you know, let's see what you got. Crying face emoji.
Oh, what did he say?
He said, sliding in since I have no chance to get
help.
Well,
then you should have never said
that. I might have a chance with Nick. That's such broken English.
Yeah. Also, Nick, like, no offense to you, but anyone listening, that approach will never, ever, ever, ever work.
That's
confidence
so,
is like,
yeah.
Not, there's a difference between being cocky and being confident, but you can't say, like, I don't have a chance with you because.
Okay, but now she did. So now what does he say back?
Well, that's on. I mean, I would never set it up that way. I'd be like, where's your fun level at? Like, are you fun or not? Like, okay, this is how you salvage it. This is how I would salvage it.
What's
your fun level? Like, I would say, what's your fun level? Because it's a go to tried and proven method of just being like, all right, like, what's your fun level at? But don't be like, because mine sometimes at a 4 or 5 or a 10, you just be like, where's your fun level at? And see what she responds. And if she says like 7, then you can be like, all right, like, we're on a cliff. We're 40 feet up. Do you jump first or after me? Are you scared of falling? Are you scared of jumping? Like, wow. You got to get edgy with it. So
tell her, yeah. Oh, man.
I would get with the fun level. I would either say, like, we're standing on, I wouldn't say this first, but like, oh, we're on a cliff. Are you scared you're going to jump? Are you scared you're going to fall? But I would say, where's your fun level at? And that's it. I would say, where's your fun level at? Okay. Austin, also never downplay yourself again because you're a beautiful man. Everyone loves you. Everyone listening loves you. And also, you will see in the emails that come. It's just not what
the next question.
Okay, ask me. But we love you.
Craig, if you could settle a friendly debate between my husband and I, what do you consider to be a reasonable amount of sex to have per week/month? This is when you're in a long-term committed relationship. I feel that 4 times a week is plenty. My husband would prefer 5 to 6.
Well, I will get started on a positive note that you guys are not that far apart, which is good. Like you're one digit apart.
Yeah.
I also am not the correct person to ask because I haven't been in a long-term relationship in a really long time. But I don't think I always did get mad at like Cameron when she would say this shit or other people. Like, I don't think it should change in your relationship. Of course, there's going to be life happens, kids happen, other stuff happens, but I guess I'm just not the right person to ask because recently I've been in relationships where, fuck Austin. Sorry. Now I'm wine drunk. There's people outside.
This is amazing. Craig, I'm watching you sweat.
Okay. I am sweating. Okay. So let me see if I can work my way through
this. Salvage this.
She turned the air off.
She feels like 4 times a week is plenty. He wants 5 to 6. Well, again, Austin and I have more problems than you guys right now. So that's good. I wouldn't put a number on it. I have always been bothered by this and no offense. And I'm not trying to like sound coy here off put, but like, I think if you're having sex to hit a quota, then you're probably in wrong. Like, I don't think I think you're kind of like not in the right place where you should be. I think if you guys get turned on and you want to have sex, you have sex. But if anyone's holding a number over someone's head, it's like, we only had sex 4 times this week. Okay. Hold on. I'm getting to my point. Right. We only had sex 5 times.
You're sounding like me right now. You're sounding like me. You're just running around.
Here's the kicker. You should be able to masturbate freely as many times as you want. And I've heard that the generation above us and some people at our age are against that. I think that you should openly be able to tell your partner, like, hey, I'm going to go get off. And like, if the other one's doing something or busy, it's like, sweet, have fun. Tell me what you watch later. That's what I think's healthy. And then if like you have sex together, it's fine. But if you're holding like masturbating over someone's head, I don't think that's healthy. So as long as you can jerk off or play with yourself as much as you want, fine.
Definitely. I don't think that it's healthy to hold that over your partner's head. But because
it's
this
fun. Sometimes it's fun. It's always fun. Do it with your partner. I'm a big proponent of that too.
Look, sometimes you just want to see what you want to see, and that shit is rad.
Okay, so now you answer the quota part.
So this is different, okay? Because the honeymoon phase is obviously like twice a day, every day for however many months, right? The honeymoon phase always ends. Then I feel like, oh man, there's not a right answer to this.
You're either the person that can't go to bed without, like, if you're laying next to your partner.
3 to 5 times a week. 3 to 5 times a week.
I'm not
going to
put a number on it.
That's it.
Okay, but what about if you're.
Almost every morning. Almost. Okay.
See,
okay,
I would be almost night. Every morning. Well, morning sex is the best, but if you get up at different times.
Absolute horniest in the morning.
Well, everyone is.
Oh, okay.
But, well, not everyone, but.
Well, you just said that you prefer at night. At night.
No, don't prefer it at night. I'm saying that you're both in bed.
Or let's get in bed.
I'm saying people wake up at different times. I like morning sex more than night sex.
My wife will wake up when I wake her up with my woo-woo.
Okay, so what? Yeah, that's our non-answer to this question.
Or 3 to 5 times.
Here's my suggestion to you guys. Get on Amazon. Google the weird or search the weirdest thing that you can think of on Amazon. They sell sex toys.
I really want
have fun. Buy some restraints. Buy some restraints. Buy like something fun. And like, look, the same thing over and over can get monotonous, Austin. But that's why you buy some weird shit online, and it's actually really fun. I would love to go into a sex store, but I can't anymore because it would be talked about online. So instead, I have to do my shopping online, and it's a lot of fun.
Okay. And that is our next sponsor, Cupid only. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
No,
all right, okay. Austin, what do you – oh, I don't think this is the right – oh, no, I'm going to change the question.
Well,
the
it's order. Actually funny because what? We're going right from how many times did you have sex a week to
– how many times did you jerk off as a
– which – what?
No, what I'm going to skip that. I'm going to skip that. I'm going to – we're going to get back to that. Okay. What movie would you choose to live in as one of the main guys? Animal House, Wedding Crashers, Old School, or American Pie?
I feel like I know your answer is Wedding Crashers, and I would say American Pie 1000%. I want to be a member of that crew. When they go to that house, they rent a house after
number
their,
two.
They're fresh. Yeah. American Pie 2. But still, just the whole thing because their group is kind of tragic, and there's people like Stifler and Oz that are jocks, and like Oz is a puss. But definitely American Pie.
When you say I'm Oz, is that your fucking Loki wave? Yeah. Look, now we're even sneaking in shots at each other using fucking character names from movies.
You are Oz.
You'd be the washed up guy in Old School. So Old School I wouldn't want to do because we've already lived that life. Animal House was before my time, but I love that, but we also kind of lived that life. Wedding Crashers, yes, but I don't know if Austin would pick, could you pick who I wanted to be?
In Wedding Crashers.
Yeah. Because it goes half and half, kind of.
Yeah.
Who do you think I wanted to be on the first half of the movie? Who do I want to be on the second half?
You want to be Baba Ganoush in the first half, which is Vince Vaughn, and then you want to be Owen Wilson in the second half.
Yeah, because I'm a softie. All right, and then who are you going to be in American Pie?
Stifler.
Who's the guy that no one can remember their name? Not
Shipwreck.
No, everyone knows Shipwreck. Not the main guy, but like the secondary guy.
Oh, there's Jim, which is the main guy. Stifler, Shipwreck, Oz, and then
he would be the guy that no one remembers his name.
Wow.
The one who dated Tara Reid?
He banged Tara Reid.
No, he didn't. I shot myself in the foot on that one, huh? All right, next question.
Next question, Craig. As I call you pussy. What do you miss most from your childhood? This is easy for me. Other than your dad not telling you that. Dad not telling you that you're good enough. Other than your dad loving your brothers more than you, what do you miss most?
Who, me?
Yeah.
That's weird. I have one brother. I miss baseball.
Okay.
And I miss, like, I was just blessed that, like, I had a routine. I'd come home from practice. We'd have dinner together. I was very fortunate. And then my parents had, like, a Whirlpool tub in their bathroom with a TV in there, and I would go watch the Food Network. And that was my routine. I hated waking up. I pledged to myself at an early age, like, I will do something in life where I do not have to wake up this early because I just don't work that way. And I don't know how it, I mean, my poor mom waking me up in the morning was a nightmare for her. So
it was brutal for a lot of people.
Yeah. I would have loved if school started at 10 because, like, I would have gone from 10 to 5. Like, that's how my brain worked. So, I like just the adventure. I grew up in the woods and like building tree houses and shit.
Yeah.
That's what I liked.
Okay. So I guess that I played street hockey in a cul-de-sac when I was younger, living in DC, right? I'm talking 5'6". I would play street hockey in this big cul-de-sac and I wanted to be an NHL player, which is so funny. And then
you realize you're a little bitch.
Playing Bloody Murder. Catching fireflies in a jar. Those are just like some of the simplest, most fun memories. Oh, sledding in my backyard. I had the de facto hill in my neighborhood.
You're a creep.
Everyone would come and sled down our hill.
I bet you were asking all the neighbors to slide down your hill.
At 6 years old, yes.
My neighbors, I mean, the scary old guy with the
lamps. I asked him to slide down my hill. It's great.
All right, guys. Well, that is episode 24. Sorry you haven't heard from us in a few weeks. Austin and I clearly have some shit to work out. I don't know if that's ever going to happen, but we will not leave you hanging while we squabble anymore. So, from Austin and Craig at Pillows and Beer and Jerry at the flagship store, this is us. We love you more than family and the friends that we hope to meet one day. Love you guys. See you next week.